I'm still on this Sabbath kick just because it has been so important to me and coming back into the faith. And so I want to talk a little bit more about the Sabbath day. We'll continue our study, and today we're going to be looking at Colossians 2:16 in a little bit more depth. Now, as you recall, I did a sermon on the Sabbath, and also I did a sermonette on one of the difficult scriptures, Galatians 4:10, and in that we talked about how the Sabbath wasn't even mentioned whatsoever in the book of Galatians. There's another controversial scripture in Romans 14 that people try to use to say that we don't have to keep the Sabbath. Again, in Romans, the Sabbath is never mentioned, but in that case there, they were talking more about fasting. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, and the Christians in Colossae, a Gentile congregation. And he said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in the respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come." And that's in Colossians 2:16 and 17. Now this passage, probably more than any other in the Bible, is interpreted by those who reject God's festivals as a confirmation that the biblical feast days are unnecessary observations. However, this passage in the New Testament reveals that the Gentile converts at Colossae were keeping the annual Sabbath. They were following God's calendar and rested each weekly Sabbath. In fact, the very scripture most quoted against these days is the strongest proof that they were being kept by them. Let's read that again together in the New King James Version, Colossians 2, verse 16. "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Did Paul intend to say that the Sabbath keeping is abolished? If so, we encounter some immediate problems with this interpretation. To accept this position, it is difficult to explain how Paul could leave the issue so muddled by not stating that these practices were unnecessary, when these verses indicate that Colossians were, in fact, observing them. Paul could have used this epistle right here to make it very plain to all the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians that the Sabbath is not to be kept anymore, but he did not do that. From the context, we see that Paul in this passage is encountering a local heresy. In doing so, he actually confirms and explains the value of God's days to Christians. He explains that they are a foreshadow of things to come. Now, the world churches out there want to say that things to come have already come, pointing to Christ. However, Christ ain't back here yet. The kingdom is not established. It's a shadow of those things. It's a shadow of the kingdom of God. That is why we are continuing to keep the Sabbath. First, we need to understand a few things here. But first of all, in other words, the focus on God's festival is on the future, as I said here. It's related to God's plan. It's a foreshadow of things to come. It's directly related to God's plan of salvation, to the commission that Christ gave to the church. So let's examine what Paul is really saying about the Sabbath, the new moons, and the holy days in this verse. Again, first we need to understand that Paul was confronting a heresy. False teachers had infiltrated the congregation there in Colossae. Notice Paul's condemnation of the converts in Colossae. In Colossians 2, verse 5, that in their hearts they may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches and the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Now, when you look at this in verse 5, it says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." He's talking great about these people here. Paul had never seen or visited these converts. The local church was started by one of Paul's evangelists that he sent out. The Apostle Paul had received a glowing report of this church. The church of God in Colossae was following Christ, doing the things he did, keeping the days he kept. They had ceased their pagan customs. They had quit the heathen practices that they were doing. They were keeping the holy days. They were keeping the Sabbath. This congregation was following in the way of the congregation that was in Judea, like the Thessalonica congregation was. But these false teachers were trying to persuade them to direct their worship towards angels. If you look at Colossians 2:18, it says that they were worshiping angels. And they were neglecting their bodies in verse 23. No such distorted ideas are taught anywhere in the scriptures. Paul tried to keep the Colossians focused on Christ as the head of the church. In Colossians 1 verse 18, 2:10, and also verse 19. Christ is the head of the church. Now let's talk about Colossae for a little bit. It was a very ascetic community. The people there did not believe in enjoying pleasures. They believed in a religion of severity. They believed in rigidly suppressing the body in order to purify the soul. They thought that any indulgence of the senses was wrong. They fasted often. They punished themselves. They were vegetarians in part. They refused to eat those clean meats that God created for us and thought that drinking wine was terrible. What type of deceitful regulations did Paul combat here? If you look at verses 21 and 22, it says, "Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." The heretics advocated mandate regulations concerning physical things that perish with the using. In verse 22. These pagan beliefs were commonly known to the heathen by the name philosophy. If you want a title for this sermonette, it's "The Sabbath versus Philosophy." Paul used this very word in Colossians 2, verse 8, if we want to take a look at Colossians 2, verse 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Philosophy was the doctrine that you could pay for your own sins by denying yourself the pleasures of the body. It was a pagan doctrine which denied the need of a savior. It was called philosophy because of the pagan philosophers responsible for its introduction. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, among others, taught that the soul was immortal, that the body was a prison house and that the soul could be released from this prison house of flesh only if it could be purified from the desires of the flesh. These Gentile converts in verse 27 had been called out of the world, called to be separate from the traditions of the world, but they still lived in a world steeped with pagan superstition and custom. They were under pressure from their neighbors to give up their newfound faith. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Their Gentile neighbors did not like them taking up with biblical practices. They did not want any Jewish practices developing in their community. They weren't about to have their pagan holidays replaced by God's holy days, or their sun worship rites superseded by a weekly Sabbath, or the pagan Roman calendar replaced by God's calendar. They didn't want them to do that. That's why they were upset with them and they were telling them, do not keep these days. That is why Paul said, don't let them judge you in that. The Grecian Gentiles at Colossae severely judged their Christian neighbors for the least infraction of ascetic behavior. They did not like to see the Christians freely eating meat good for food or drinking moderately or keeping the Sabbath or the annual holy days. That is why Paul wrote, let no man therefore judge you for eating or drinking in connection with the observance of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Let's take a look, a closer look here. When Paul wrote, let no one judge you in food, in verse 16, he wasn't discussing the types of food that you should or should not eat. The Greek word brosis, translated food, refers not to the kinds of foods one should eat or not eat, but to the act of eating. That's according to Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of the Old and New Testament words. The point is that the deceivers disdaining the feasting, any type of eating or drinking for enjoyment. They believed in punishing themselves. Asceticism was a big thing with them. Paul instructed the Colossians Christians not to be influenced by these false teachers. Objections to eating, drinking, and rejoicing on the Sabbath, in feast days and the new moons. I mean, we're going to feast after services today. It's the Sabbath. We feast on the holy days. God wants us to do that. We're commanded to do that in Deuteronomy. They were totally against that. They believed that you had to punish yourself, that you couldn't have the good things in life. This way you can purify your soul and reach immortality. But they were objection to the eating, drinking, and rejoicing on the Sabbath, feast days, and the new moons. Okay, why new moons? We don't celebrate them, do we? There's a relationship between the new moons and God's festivals. Think about that. The dates for observing God's festivals are determined by a lunar calendar. Therefore, the new moons, which mark the beginning of the months, are important for establishing the correct festival dates. Unlike God's holy days, however, the new moons are not commanded observances in the scriptures. In the millennium, the custom of making the arrival of each new moon, it will be a special occasion again once it's restored. And that's according to Isaiah 66, verse 23. But no biblical command exists now requiring their observances, but it's very important for us to know when those occur so that we can keep the holy days on the absolute correct day. One of those especially is the Feast of Trumpets, which will be the next one that's coming up, that is on a new moon. If we don't know when that is, how are we going to keep it? Now back to Paul's main point. The Colossian deceivers had no authority to judge or determine how the Colossians were to observe God's festivals. That's why Paul said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or the respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Notice that Paul tells them to reject the false human judgment. False human judgment, not God's judgment. God was not judging them. It was all these people around them, their neighbors, that were upset that they were keeping the Sabbath. They were keeping the Sabbath. Why would Paul even say that? Don't be worried about them judging you if they weren't keeping the Sabbath. And these were Gentiles. They would never have kept the Sabbath before Paul had introduced this to them. Or Paul's evangelist that went to the Colossian church and set that church up. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. However, their neighbors around them were upset. They weren't keeping Christmas. They weren't keeping Easter. They weren't keeping all these other days. They weren't doing the things that they thought that they should be doing. They weren't keeping Lent, you know, applying it to our modern day things that we have now. Boy, you're not keeping Lent. You're not doing this. You're not abstaining from this or that. That's what they were really attacking them on. It had nothing to do with the Sabbath. They were keeping the Sabbath. They were Sabbath keepers, just like we are. Nothing in this passage even suggests that God abolished his Sabbath and holy days, nor authorized Paul to do so. Think about it. Paul was an apostle. If Christ wanted this to be taken care of, he would have said something. He would have said something to his disciples that, you know, hey, after I'm gone, you don't have to keep the Sabbath no more. Yet as we know from the story that Mary and the women, they rested on the Sabbath before going and buying the spices. And then they rested again after preparing the spices. And then finally went to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ, which he wasn't there. They were still resting. They kept the feast of Pentecost. They were keeping the holy days. Throughout the whole book of Acts, you can see numerous times where they were keeping the Sabbath and they kept the holy days. And Paul, numerous times, instructs them in Corinthians how to keep the Sabbath day, how to keep the Passover. You can see all those things in there. He wasn't doing away with it. God's festivals are a time of joy and celebration. He commands us to attend them and to rejoice with our children, our entire family, in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, and other places in Deuteronomy. He wants us to delight in them. It's no wonder that Paul condemns this misguided ascetic philosophy of the Colossian heretics with such vigor. Paul was defending the Christian right to enjoy feasting at God's holy festivals. He was not condemning the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath. He loved the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a commandment of God, and he kept the commandments of God.